Thank you, guys. Aren't you so proud of Jacob? Aren't you? Isn't that awesome that that's someone in our very own church is doing that kind of work? I've led youth group for the YOC a couple times, and I'll tell you, that's not an easy thing to do, to just waltz in there and talk to those kids coming from many different backgrounds and places. And I'll tell you, I myself am a product of Youth for Christ in the schools. Hope and Craig were our leaders when I was a junior and senior in high school, and 20 years ago. And so, yes, I had a home church and a youth group, but it makes such a difference, even for not just reaching kids, but the kids that are Christians that have this this presence, this spiritual presence in the school. It's such a good work, and the best part is that you can get involved. We don't have to create this. They're there. It would be so hard, you know, to build a ministry like that, and you can get on board in prayer, in sponsorship, or even in person as a tutor. So please consider that this morning. That one's just so good. So anyway, don't worry. I knew that they were coming today. I knew that this, so I did prep short. I know you guys are like, ah, my oven timer's going to go off in 15 minutes, and I got to, don't worry. I'm even scripted this morning so that I don't go crazy long. But anyway, it's really good to be back with you guys. It's been a long time, and so I'm just going to jump in here. It's been a while since I've been able to be up here, and some of that was planned, like Serve Sunday, which, thank you guys. What an awesome turnout. What an awesome event, and we're definitely going to do that again. If you didn't know, we had about 75 people from our church just scatter around Middletown and do all these projects on a Sunday morning. It was incredible. We also had vacation on the calendar for fall break, like many of you did, and then some of it wasn't planned. Our family was sick for what felt like a month, and in the midst of all that, I found myself struggling. I'd been ignoring some signs that my body had been giving me for a while, and I finally reached a point where I felt like I needed to talk to somebody. And so, as many of you all have over your lifetimes, I reached out to Old Faithful Pastor Phil, right? Yeah. He's the probably the best person in the world to talk to. He was incredible as always, and he's so good to talk to when you're dealing with something. And when we finished our conversation, he encouraged me to reach out to our district superintendent, who is Tim Kellerman, who, if you were here last week, he was here preaching. I told him how I was feeling and how I probably just had been ignoring some things for too long, and he insisted that I take another Sunday off and take some time for myself. And, well, as you guys all know, when your boss tells you to do something, you do it, right? Yeah. And so that's where I was, just watching from home last week. And so I had overextended myself while simultaneously not dealing with a lot of things personally for the sake of feeling the need to push through or not slow down. And that was a product of my own doing. I'm so thankful for the people who've been investing in me these last few weeks. And so in the midst of COVID and then all the loss that we as a church have dealt with the last 2 years, we've had what seems like just unexpected loss after loss. And it just kind of worked out that I had allowed myself to take on too much and therefore at times feel like I wasn't sufficiently meeting the needs in different areas of the church. And at least it felt that way to me. And I'm super grateful for the church board. They've been willing to take over some leadership of some administrative responsibilities moving forward. I met with your church board Tuesday night, and we worked out a plan moving forward for them to take a few things off my plate to help spread the workload out some, and I'm super grateful for that. And so they're doing that so that I can invest more of my focus into preaching, pastoral care, and implementing the mission and vision of our church. And so now, all that being said, I'm feeling better than I have in a month or so, and I'm glad to be back with you guys today. So just that's kind of where I've been. Like I said, two of them were planned, two of them weren't, but here we are. So I do want to say we love you all very dearly, and we want this church and ministry to grow. And speaking for my wife and my family, we sincerely want to be able to love every member of this congregation well, and our hope is that you feel connected and invested in the life of your church. And so I'm excited to get back into the swing of things, be able to focus more of my ministry and or more on ministry and less on administrative things. And so what I need from you guys first and foremost is prayer. I'm very aware that a lot of you guys pray for me and my family on a regular basis. We're so grateful for that. So please continue to do that. The next thing I would ask for you is patience as I try and dust myself off, so to speak. I've been working with the district superintendent to help me set up some new rhythms and routines and prevent me from getting overextended in the future. And the last thing that I would ask for is grace as I work through some new approaches and strategies in ministry and in life and so on. And so I'm very grateful for every one of you, grateful for a church family who lifts us up in prayer and is willing to fill the void when I'm not at my best. So thank you in advance for the prayer and patience and grace. And I hope that clears up any, I'm not like leaving or I wasn't in the hospital or anything, just a little bit down. So we're good. So glad to be back with you. And now that we got that out of the way, I've been thinking and pondering, and God's been definitely speaking to me throughout this last month. And one passage that he's put on my heart time and time again is probably a familiar one to you. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 10, and it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." I think I do have a slide with that on it up there, if you want to just throw that up so they can read through as well. But how many have heard this passage before? Okay, good. All of us. Great. At least you've maybe heard the first part, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight or direct your path, depending on who your Sunday school teacher was, right? That was always one we could say at my home church for candy, right? We could go and say that. There's a couple verses, and there was a Sunday school teacher that would give us candy. It was awesome. Anyway, I'm sure that there are a lot of us that have read this many different times in our lives, and there's so much truth in this little five-verse passage. I think we could all stand to apply the truth of this passage to our lives, but please understand this morning that I'm preaching to myself. I have a feeling this might strike a chord with several of you, but this is one of those times where if there's one finger pointing out at you, there's three pointing back at me, right? I'm sure you've all been there before. So if you get convicted by this, well, that's between you and God. It has nothing to do with me this morning. So I want to ask you something. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Yeah, a few of us, right? Sorry, I just haven't been doing this in a month, and this ear thing, it's had four different ears in it, you know? It's not fitting right this morning. Okay, I think that's better. I've been overwhelmed before many times, right? Maybe you've had a huge project due at work, or one of your kids were sick at the same week, and then your car broke down to put the cherry on top. It's hard to believe, or it's hard to live the truth of this passage out when we can't even see the forest through the trees. We're going to look at three practical steps forward out of this passage, and this is what God has shown me as a way out of whatever crummy situation me or you or we find ourselves in. These are all spelled out in the passage. This isn't groundbreaking material or some new idea from some guy. This is 3,000-year-old wisdom written by Solomon. And so the first one on your screen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that happens to be spelled out plainly in verse 5. This is obviously way easier said than done, and I think it's even harder to do now than it was in Solomon's day. I think the fact is that we know too much. Remember the days when one set of books was the authority on everything you needed to know? Those of you over 30 will know that the World Book Encyclopedia set, right? If you had a question, you went to the World Book, and if you had questions about anything, and if it didn't have it in there, it didn't really matter to inquire further, right? It must not be that important. Before the internet, there were still things that we needed to trust God for. Now, instead of consulting God or going to prayer, we jump to Google or ChatGPT and it'll just spit an answer out. And whatever question you ask, you'll just get an answer. And most of the time, it'll even spit out an answer that you want to hear, depending on how you ask it the question. And so not only can we know everything, but we can think that we're right about everything. And so with the technology we have today, we can live almost any reality we want to. We know way too much, and the big problem with that is that the need to trust God is greater now than ever. I don't believe that we were ever designed to know everything. We can't handle it, right? God holds the universe. God is omnipresent. God knows every need, and he hears every prayer. We don't have any of the power or potential or capability to know everything, yet we know everything, especially all the bad things that are happening all around the world, almost in real time. If something happens in Israel, we know it within the hour, right? And some of us have even set up push notifications to have our phones alert us when bad things happen. That's unhealthy, right? But hey, we do it. I don't believe that that's good for us. When we're so concerned with the issues of the world, we neglect the needs and issues right here in front of us, like kids in Southside Middle School that are reading at a third grade level, even though they're in middle school. You see, God has you in a place. You weren't created to be in several places all at once. Therefore, we don't have any control over world events, right? Yet we worry a lot about all those world events and all those things that we can't control. What if we were to trust God with all of those big, huge things that we can't control and place our worry into the things that are right in front of us, our families, our friends, our church, our communities? God's plan is not for us to individually worry about the entire world. His plan is for us to trust him and work for him where he has us and let him worry about the rest. Number two, lean not on your own understanding. And this obviously is a piggyback off of the first point, but I do think there's a difference. So many times I think we're being prompted by the Holy Spirit to act on something, and either we don't listen at all or we hear it and don't act because, well, that wouldn't be fun, right? Or it wouldn't be too hard or be too expensive. I think of the story of Jonah being called to Nineveh and not just saying no, but like running to a boat and getting in and going as far as to jump out of the boat and into a fish just to try to avoid God's calling for his life. All because he was leaning on his own understanding of what Nineveh was going to be like. Jonah had Googled Nineveh and he didn't like the answer that popped out. Instead of trusting God, he chose his own path. Have you ever decided something was going to be bad or difficult before you even gave it a chance? Okay, liars. Yeah. Now, I got a story for you about our vacation. And I try not to get too jealous. I'm definitely not bragging here, but my wife and I own a brand new 2008 Honda Odyssey. And the weird thing about this brand new car is it came with all these miles on it, and it still has a DVD player. I know. A what? Right? Best Buy is not going to sell DVDs or Blu-rays after this year, I heard in the news. Ah, we're cruising, right? Time's still moving. Anyway, they're going vintage on us. VHS and vinyl, that's it. Just kidding, that's not happening. All right, sorry, Austin took me off script. Okay, so the weird thing about this vehicle is it has a DVD player in it, and our family took a trip over fall break to Myrtle Beach, which happens to be about an 11-hour drive, if your kids are good and synced up with bathroom breaks. If not, it's like 13. We had a good week, and we started our drive back home, and about an hour into the drive, the kids asked for a movie to be put in, and I don't remember what the movie was, but I remember that Silas and Nora both wanted to watch it. Ty did not, and so as you can imagine, like most four-year-olds, Ty took that very well. He didn't throw a tantrum, and everything was fine. Said no parent ever, right? So, as my wife is trying to calm him down, still with 10 hours to go in the drive, she begins to bargain with him, as most of us would, because we're out of options, and in a pretty small box with a loud crying kid. She gave him a handful of options or solutions, and the one that they landed on was that if he would give the movie a try and he hated it, she would let him watch Paw Patrol on her phone for a little while. He agreed, and my wife proceeded to push play, and as soon as he saw her hit the button, he pipes up and says, "Mom, I really just hate this movie." He wasn't willing to even see the previews before he made his decision. I laughed pretty hard at that, and then I had a quick realization. This is how I treat God so many times. He puts opportunities in front of me, and I see them, and I hear them, and I lean on my own understanding, which tells me that this is going to be hard. This is going to be too much money. I'm not equipped to do this. The reality is that when we lean on our own understanding, all those thoughts are true. If we use our own power and our own understanding, it is too hard. It is too much money. I'm not equipped enough to do it. However, when I acknowledge and submit to God, He shows us His path, and we gain His insight and His understanding. And so if we're stuck leaning on our own understanding, we'll never be able to do what God wants us to do. And that works for us both as individuals and as the church as a whole. And the last thing, the last point, number three, that I wanted to talk to you about this morning is honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. That's in verse 9 and 10. We'll read it again here in a minute. One thing that I think we often miss, especially in today's economy, is how wealthy we really are. Notice, Scripture doesn't say honor God with your money or honor God with your shekels or your silver and gold, but with your wealth. We have so much that could be considered wealth that other people in the world wouldn't even be able to get their hands on. We have so much to be considered wealth, whether it's money or otherwise. We have places to live, we have food to eat, we have cars to drive, we have energy to work. The list goes on and on and on. I know this passage doesn't say it directly, but honoring God with our wealth is an act of gratitude, and being grateful and thankful for what we have is the avenue in which we give generously. Solomon gives us this wisdom in verse 9 and 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." I think gratitude is where it starts with honoring God with our wealth, but it's pretty clear that God is calling us to more. If the first step is gratitude, then it's followed closely by giving generously. Not just giving what you have left over, but the first fruits, right? The best of. Does this apply to your income? Yeah, it does. But also, does it apply to your attention? Yeah. Does it apply to your time? Yes. Does it apply to your skills and your talents and your energy? Yes. God doesn't want the leftover of our budget. He doesn't want the last five exhausted minutes of your day. He wants the best of what we have. And verse 10 tells us that if we give generously out of the best of our wealth, right, not just our money, but of our wealth, our barns will be overflowing and our vats will brim over with new wine. If we trust in God and lean on His understanding instead of our own and give generously out of the best of what we have, God will bless us more than we can ever imagine. Now, does that mean you're going to get rich? Probably not. I mean, unless you were already rich, I don't know. I don't know what it takes to be rich. But it means that God's going to bless you with wealth, not necessarily money. Could be. Don't count on it. If He does, great. You know, that's more to be generous with. But God will bless us more than we could ever imagine. I believe this is the way forward for us as a church. And the thing that I'm probably most excited about is our revival coming up in a month. We've got a one-day, two-service revival. Please, please, mark your calendars. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. We did that intentionally, right? Because the weekend after, you guys are going to be in a tryptophan coma, and it's not going to, you know, nobody's going to be here anyway, right? So commit to being here the 19th of November at the morning service and then in the evening service, and we're going to feed you before the evening service. It's going to be a great time of revival. I'm very excited about that coming up. I think God's going to do some really big things through all of us. I'm excited to just, Wendell and I were talking this morning, we're excited to just sit in a service and worship with you and be preached to. It's going to be awesome. So would you consider praying about these things, about trusting God with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, and honoring God with what you've been blessed with? Would you make room for some room for the Holy Spirit to work in your life, leading into revival? Pray for yourself, pray for your church, that God would open doors and soften hearts and do what he needs to do for people to receive him. And not, you know, if there's new people and it's their first time at revival, great, but like, we all need revival. We all need to be rejuvenated and refilled with the Spirit so we can go out and do ministry. Would you make some room for the Holy Spirit to work in your life for that? And would you take this passage that we read to heart this morning? Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for a week of life and a week to gather and learn and grow. We thank you for this opportunity that we've been presented with this morning to pour into the lives of students outside of the church. What an exciting opportunity. God, we just, if you're speaking to anyone that has a free hour or a little extra money or a little extra time to pray, I just ask that you would convict and that you would make a way for them to help meet these needs in our community. And God, this morning as we get ready to go our separate ways, that you would just keep this passage fresh in our mind, that we would learn and that you would help us better to trust in you with all of our heart and to lean not on our understanding, but to dive into your word and your wisdom and get insight and understanding from you. And then God, we also ask that you would convict us and just keep it ever present in our minds and lives, that we would honor you with our wealth, with whatever it is that you've given us, not just what we have left over, but the best of would go to you. God, we want to be blessed as people and as a church, but according to your word, that takes sacrifice and trust and reliance on you. So help us to do that this morning as well. God, we thank you for your presence, for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask that you just go with us, leave this place to be a beacon of light and hope in the name of Jesus in our community. We love you and we praise you, and we just want to live lives that glorify you in the process. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you today in any way, it's a great place to come and respond. If you don't want to come up and pray at the altar, I ask that you just worship and reflect for these next few minutes on what God might be trying to say to you this morning. Would you stand and sing with us?
Here is where